Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools regular Board of Directors meetings. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. It's a pleasure to be with you all here tonight. Before we begin, a couple of brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name if it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so. You do not have to state your name, but as a reminder to our board and staff, as always, please state your name before giving your comment or your question. And with that, we'll officially begin tonight's regular Board of Directors meetings. The date is Thursday, May 12, 2022, and the time is 6:02 p.m. With that, Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Yes, hi, thank you, Jennifer. Hi, everybody, thank you for being here. I would like to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call, Ms. Covarrubias.
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Yalpino. Dr. Diklic?
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you to our board members. We've established quorum. Next, we'll move on to the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Seconded, Nikar.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Diklic.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comments, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment, you may unmute yourself now. Perfect. If there's no public comments, we'll move forward next with the announcements from the CEO and superintendent and board members. I'll turn it over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Hello, everyone, wonderful board members, staff, and the entire MPS community. Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO and superintendent. I do have great news to share, but I was waiting for Dr. Lopez. Dr. Lopez, have you joined? Let's see. I don't see her, so I will do the right thing. Since she's doing the enrollment update, I'm going to defer to that moment to share some good news about two events that happened with the hopes of her arriving. So with that, nothing else to update the board on. Turn it back over to you, Jen.
Thank you. Is there any announcement from our board members before we proceed? Perfect. If not, we'll move on next with closed session. At this moment, I ask Ms. Covarrubias if you may please read off the closed session items.
Yes, we have two items. We have the CEO and superintendent evaluation, and then we have a pending litigation.
Thank you for that. For those that need to attend the closed session, the room has been open. For those in open session, feel free to turn off your mics and your cameras. Closed session should be done within a few minutes. Thank you. So welcome back to open session. The time is 6:43 p.m. For minutes purposes, Dr. Yalpino joined us at 6:43 p.m. as well. So with that, Ms. Covarrubias, may you please report out of closed session?
Yes, we discussed two items. On the part of the CEO and superintendent evaluation, we directed the staff to follow up with what the board provided. And then for the legal matter, we discussed the litigation matter and authorized the staff to settle the matter. A settlement agreement will be finalized.
Thank you for that, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, we'll move on with the agenda next with the information discussion items, starting with 3A enrollment update. This would be presented by Dr. Lopez, our Chief External Officer.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Enrollment update for the month of May.
The information that was presented to our board members and will be presented tonight as far as the slide deck is giving them an update, not only on our current enrollment, but how we are doing to be on track for our target enrollment for the 22-23 school year, upcoming school year. I just wanted to share two really important, exciting announcements right before I jump into this though. One announcement is we were able to be part of a Washington DC Advocacy Day, thanks to our partnership with the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. And we were able to take 12 families across the Magnolia Network to attend this event. And we were featured on Univision, a couple of media stations. So I'll make sure to share that on the May 26th update. And the other amazing news that we just found out and I wanted to share with you all is that the nine applications, nine schools, MSA 1 through 8 and Santa Ana, we applied for the California Community Schools Planning Grant. We've been selected and awarded $200,000 for each of our schools. So that totals $1.8 million for our organization, for our communities, for our families to serve. And so exciting news. And why does that I'll pull into it? It because it really highlights the work we're doing. And as I mentioned before, famous quote, rising tide lifts all boats. And so that is a prime example of the work that our schools are doing, our school leaders, our staff, our families, everyone to increase not only recruiting our families, serving them, but retaining our families in our schools. So for the current enrollment, I wanted to just share, currently our current enrollment as of the numbers you have at reflect April 29th, just because we have to submit our reports ahead of time. But the revised numbers, we're currently at 3,629 students across our schools, all 10 schools. And our enrollment has remained steady since November through February. We've actually gained some of our students back as well, who might've left during the school year for different reasons. So that's promising to us. Another thing to look at are increasing enrollment for the upcoming school year and those intent to return forms. So as a reminder, intent to return forms are the ones we hand out in the first semester to better inform us which families will be returning with us for the upcoming school year. And so those are forms that we hand out, we receive, and students who do not, or families who do not confirm whether or not they're returning, the school staff takes action to follow up with those numbers. And so as of March, we had about 1,043 unaccounted for responses. And so as of May 6th, when we were constantly tracking these numbers, thanks to Lydia Woods, who's been following up with it as well, and the office staff team, we're now at 466. So we've dramatically impacted those numbers and making sure we're reducing the unknowns, right? The other thing is our school principals have been holding meetings individually with families, with students, especially the grades that we tend to see. There is families who make other choices during specific grade levels. So if it's a middle school going into high school, it's critical to talk to our eighth grade families to confirm that they will be returning for high school and what are some great opportunities they have, such as dual enrollment, such as other awards that and opportunities when they continue with Magnolia. The number of completed registrations has increased from 272 on March 11th to now 579 as of May 6th. And once schools move steps 1, 2, and 3, Jen, you can scroll up. Can you scroll up? No, sorry, down. I always know it's the opposite. Down, continue, next one. The one that says focus on locus of control, what we do have control over. So if you look at once schools moving steps 1, 2, and 3, so the colors that are red and yellow, if you add those together, we'd have 288, and that's from offering the family enrollment to them actually starting the process of completing their registration packet after enrollment has been offered. If we add up those numbers from the registration packets in green that we have received and waiting on those other numbers that are parent and community engagement coordinators as well as our office staff are actively communicating with families. We're projected to have 867 completed registrations with those numbers. You can go to the next one. So the work that has been, really supporting, continuing to improve our practices is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the this school year, back in October, we talked about, well, actually September, in October, we talked about looking at our strengths when it comes to enrollment, our enrollment process. And here are a couple of items that we focused on, whereas maximizing our touch points with our families. Communication is key to making sure that everyone knows what the process looks like, especially people who are the frontline staff. Meeting with families, meet them where they are. So really understanding that there is a digital divide. And some families, we have the enrollment process online, although we have that because we're also trying to centralize that information and have accurate information more quickly on completed registration packets. We understand that some families are still not comfortable with technology, so that we make sure that we are available through either open houses, through Saturday registration workshops. The weaknesses that we identified: conflicting priorities. So as you know, and as Dr. Yapanow observed on his many visits to our school site, this year was really about opening safely, right? And making sure that our schools are safe, our staff have what they needed. And so really that took the focus. So that's a conflicting priority. We hope to see that as, you know, unfortunately we're starting to see numbers go up a little, but as we started to see them go down, as we saw mandates started to be lifted, a lot of the barriers that were impeding our access to our families in the traditional sense, we're starting to be hopeful about pushing through that. Looking at enrollment trends, and from the previous slide when I mentioned, you know, our locus of control, we have to make sure we focus on the things we can control. We know there's these enrollment trends, birth rates, people leaving the state financially cannot afford to live in the communities that are either being gentrified and they're being displaced, right? So economics. So understanding, we know these are the trends and there's things we can control in our own environment. So making sure that we are a competitive school, that we are offering programs that interest our families, and possibly connecting our families to resources that could help them stay within the community, which is programs that might be offered by the LA County. LA County, when it comes to rental assistance, human capital is a weakness, because making sure we have enough people to support the work opportunities that we want to highlight are the value added program the schools offer, targeting our warm market. So our families and friends that are already with us that can target and connect to families that they can refer us to, which we've mentioned as word of mouth. We know that that's one of the best ways to really recruit new families and retain our current families. Reengaging communities with celebrations. So again, as we see more opportunities come up, when it comes to being face-to-face with our community, being involved in those. And threats, challenges, again, human capital. One glow to show with that is that all of our school sites have now fully invested in a parent and community engagement coordinator. So the trip that we took to Washington, D.C., four of our parent and community engagement coordinators were actually a part of it. And we're actually able to bond with our families and see the impact that families can have when we unite for a common cause. Gaps in enrollment communication and knowledge is something that we see as a threat, as a challenge. And so again, I applaud Lydia Woods and the accountability team who have been supporting me in the process of making sure that all people who are involved in the enrollment process, frontline staff, office managers, PACE, are aware of what steps are involved in fully enrolling a family. And then keeping in mind the enrollment trends, it's not something we're gonna ignore. Being aware of it, but being prepared for it. Customer service is the most important factor that we know has benefited our enrollment and the practices we see at the schools that are showing higher enrollment, having clear lines of communication, frequent touch points, person first language. So as opposed to identifying the person's disability or something when they're, when you're talking with somebody, you always make sure you address the person first, or even when we're mentioning We serve families who are been historically underserved communities. We don't just say, you know, something that would make them feel like they're just a number. That's not what we're about. Focus on what we know. There is, unfortunately, some negative and misinformation spread about charter schools, and we want to focus on what we have control over and what we know is a fact. We are public free schools. We are open to everyone, and we do offer services to all students. We make sure that we provide that information to our families in our community. And learning from frontline staff and experience, and as their experience interactions with our community, what is the community in need of? And most important, assigning an enrollment representative at every school site. Can go to the next one. So touch points that we've been focused on, strengthening name ID. As you see, it's been really big, not only just with internally, but externally, really exposing us to positive stories, making sure that our messaging is consistent to community members, making sure that everyone knows who they can connect with, and then just creating opportunities for our families to refer others. So you see an example there for the referral campaign that our director of creative branding and communication put together for us, for our schools to also share, but being intentional with how we're doing that as well, and knowing how to be most effective with the referral campaign. It shouldn't be going on all year. It really is a specific time to push urgency. And then we have the digital marketing side next. And with that, reporting out that we've had more than 25 confirmed enrollments due to digital marketing throughout the year. That number is still, I'm still going back and making sure we're confirming any other families. The one thing that we're not fully able to track is some of the families that are on our internal tracker. Those are the ones that we're internally tracking, meaning that they completed the interest form. We got their information directly. Well, we weren't able to track just phone calls. So phone calls, the numbers were also attached to digital marketing. So we weren't able to track that. And that's something I'm circling back with. Strategic planning, as you see in the next slide, strategic planning when it comes to recruitment and retention. So really focusing on what entails enrollment and supporting how we have our touch points with our families. So one thing I've said before is retention is key. It's not just about reaching out to new families. It's really making sure that our current families are doing well and they are satisfied with their school, because it goes back to word of mouth. For the last three slides, the iterative process of all of this work is grounded in data. So collective efforts from all educational partners, creating positions that support our branding and the work we're doing overall, and promoting people in those spaces, professional learning communities focused on family engagement, leverage leadership strengths and community partnerships, mentioned word of mouth, memorializing our practices has been a big one, because a lot of the work we're doing, we hit the ground running and we seldom memorialize, you know, well, what did we do really well the year before? And even right now we've seen in Santa Ana, we've seen a lot of enrollments come in for TK. And so we're saying what in the last 3 weeks has been done to increase that. And so we actually have Ms. Rao who can share it after this, any positive interactions they've had. Again, positive media story. We're looking forward to our 20th anniversary campaign and built-in opportunities to brag about the great work we are leading during celebrations. Last two slides, I just wanted to show you. This is from the Google Trends. And one thing to keep in mind is when you type in to Google Trends, you're able to see, you know, what's trending at the time, or a general search. And so when I typed in charter schools, district schools, and private schools over the past year, you actually see the number there and the colors. I know it's hard to see, it's a little small, but it's interesting because you see we're kind of overlapping. You see for the blue charter schools, the searches for charter schools went up a little in January 2019. So understanding, you know, the context of that, but really looking in between right before October 18th of 2020, you see a big spike in red. So as y'all know, like, what was happening during that time, right? And that was right before reopening the schools in the pandemic, not face-to-face, but really looking. So that's where you see people that were probably searching for that. Why is this important? Because when you also look at the next slide, you'll see just within the past 12 months, you'll see that private school is really trending higher than both district and charter. And that's important to know. It can also be possibly looking at it from maybe they were searching, you know, private school for colleges, higher education. But one thing to understand is families are still looking for that option of a high quality education, and private schools are still seen as that high quality option and competitive option. So understanding that families are still looking for that option, and charter schools offer the free public alternative and high quality option to the family. So seeing how we communicate that as well. That is it. Thank you so much. And I'll pass it on to principals that are on the line, possibly Maria, just, you know, share a couple of seconds because I know we're short on time.
Sure. Hello, good evening, everyone. This is Maria Rao, elementary principal over in Santa Ana. And I just would like to share that we are truly just hitting the ground running. We have done individual meetings with our families, TK through second grade, just to reassure, you know, just to ensure them how we will continue next year to go back to, you know, to be in school full time, showcasing our before school program, our after school program, highlighting our music, our theater arts, our amazing science program that we have TK through 12th grade. And now with the universal TK, you know, pre-K TK system, I think a big draw of our TKers is the fact that we are going to have a 12-to-1 ratio. So families love that their students will have so much individualized attention, but then also be able to, you know, collaborate in, you know, center rotations or in a group setting with a smaller group of students. So that has been something that we have really highlighted over in Santa Ana. Back to you, Dr. Lopez.
Great, thank you so much. And if any other principal on the line would like to share their practices, now would be a good time. And then I'll hand it back to Jen.
Hi, this is Megan Wittick, principal MSA 7. Just a couple of things that I wanted to share that our PACE coordinator has been doing this semester, different than previous semesters, was really making connections with the community organizations. So we developed swag bags and a couple one pagers that she went out to and personally introduced herself to YMCAs, local parks, preschool programs, just all of the different centers in our community to let them know that we were here, we exist, we have a great quality education program to offer. Haven't done the actual tracking to see how many students have come from that, but it was a great way for us to make some new community partnerships and relationships as well.
Thank you all. So with that, for minutes purposes, Dr. Digbush left at 7:02 p.m. I'll open up the floor if there's any questions or comments from the members of the public. If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Just wanted to say congratulations to everybody for these grants, and thank you for putting this item together. Thank you, guys.
Definitely, I resonate, Ms. Covarrubias. Amazing work, the grants, everything else with enrollment and statistics. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lopez and everybody else for putting this together. And of course, the grants. That's awesome news again.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments from our board members? Perfect. If not, then since this is just an informational discussion item, no actions will be needed. So next we'll move on to action items, starting with 4A, approval to exercise of third option to extend due diligence contingency period for purchase of 7111 Winnetka Avenue. This was previously presented to the MPS Audit and Facilities Committee. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov as the chair for the committee if you would like to report out.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. Yes, this item was brought by staff on our Audit and Facility Committee meeting on May 5th. So as we will remember, the Winnetka 7111 Winnetka Avenue property, it had stages of releasing certain amount of funds as we move along the process of clearing the path to escrow. So this is a third, I want to say, part where we are releasing another $25,000 to the other party and showing that we are moving forward. Patrick had prepared a report for us. To this date, on a couple of occasions, we released $15,000 in March and $20,000 in April. So this is another $25,000. So the process is moving and it's clearing as we go. Patrick, feel free to add more if you would like. But as a committee, we did approve this item to be paid out and for the process to go on.
Hi, this is Patrick. I'll just add a couple items here. One is the exercise of our option to extend our due diligence period. This is the third and final option we have. We're releasing $25,000. That money is applicable to the purchase price. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that it's not in addition to the purchase price. It's credited against the purchase price, assuming we close escrow, which we expect to do. Right now, we have a term sheet from the lender that we have reviewed and commented on. And so we have a final offer on the table from them. The next step is going to be to discuss this with our authorizer, LACO, to get their approval, get their buy-in on us moving forward with this transaction. We expect that to happen sometime next week. We are moving forward, as board member Mahabada said, and happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, team. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. So if there are no questions or comments, the motion is for the board to approve 1, the exercise by MPS of its option under that certain purchase and sell agreement signed by MPS dated as of December 15th, 2021, for the purchase of the property located at 7111 Winnetka Avenue to extend its contingency due diligence period for 1 additional 30-day period from April 23rd, 2022 to June 22nd, 2022. And in conjunction therewith, to the release by MPS of $25,000 from the escrow established for the aforementioned transaction as consideration for the exercise of the extension option, and 3, the execution by the MPS CEO and superintendent or his designees of such documents and instruments as may be necessary to undertake and complete the foregoing actions. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
Hey, Jennifer, this is Patrick Gontiveros again. I just wanted to, there is a typo. Instead of saying April 23rd, 2022 in paragraph 1, it should be May 23.
Sorry for that. Let me just repeat the first option then the board to approve 1, the exercise of MPS of its option under that certain purchase and sell agreement signed by MPS dated as of December 15, 2021, for the purchase of the property located at 7111 Winnetka Avenue to extend its contingency due diligence period for one additional 30-day period from May 23rd, 2022 to June 22nd, 2022, and in conjunction therewith, the rest will remain the same. So with that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mikhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapino?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board member. The motion carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4B, approval of authorization of sale of strip of land to City of Los Angeles. This was also presented in the MPS Audit Facilities Committee. I'll turn it over once again to Mr. Mohamedov, that's the chair for this committee.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes, this is another item that was discussed on May 5th. So basically, this has been coming to our attention in the past months in regards to the strip of land that belongs to MSA 1 parking lot to sell it to Los Angeles. City of Los Angeles Recreation and Parks Department. Just a bit background, City of Los Angeles Recreation and Parks Department has a project to have an enclosed ice hockey rink in the parcel that they own adjacent to ours. So they need a strip of land there, and we've been in discussion with them. So the appraisals and negotiations and after everything else, it was proposed to sell the strip of land for no less than $1.266 million to City of LA. As a result of this, MSA will lose 33 parking spaces, but will be able to retrieve with the purchase of the adjacent building, the JAM building, that we are in the process of negotiations. As an alternative, of course, there is another a project in place where to acquire 26 parking spaces from Citibank, with whom I believe staff is in touch. So yeah, this is a proposal to agree to sell that strip of land for $1.266 million. Again, Patrick, feel free to add if I missed anything or else. This is what we had approved in our committee.
Hi, this is Patrick. I think Makan did an excellent job of summarizing what is before the board. But really quick, what I'll just add is the 1.266 is an increase from the previous amount we had discussed, which was about $1 million a little over a year ago. We did a appraisal recently, and the city also did an appraisal, and we decided that 1.266 million is a fair and reasonable compromise. That is what we are proposing. Jennifer, can you show the attachment that shows the ice hockey rink? The city is, through their Department of Recreation and Parks, building an ice hockey rink on the parcel in the back. And they are going to be putting a regular skating rink on the front parcel that fronts Sherman Way. So it's a really exciting project. It's going to allow our students to use the ice hockey rink. We received a letter from, thank you, Jennifer, for showing this. This is what it's going to look like. We're in the process of negotiating a use agreement with Parks and Rec. They provided us a letter stating that they will negotiate in good faith a use of those facilities. As an example, they showed us what they did with another community organization at one of their other facilities. I had a chance to look at it really quickly, and I think it looks good. So that land has been empty for a while now, and I think based on the renderings that we're seeing right now, it's gonna make a vast improvement to the aesthetics of the area, and will, you know, consequently benefit our school as well. So I think that's important to highlight. I also just want to mention that Magnolia Science Academy 1, MRF, doesn't actually own that strip of land. We are the tenant to MPM Sherman Way LLC. Sherman Way LLC is a wholly owned entity of Magnolia Properties Management, Inc., which is a related organization. So MPM, Inc. will also have to authorize the sale, but MRF has to authorize it as well because it's the tenant. So just wanted to add that additional layer of context. Thank you.
Thank you, team. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If no questions, the motion is for the board to, one, subject to staff obtaining all approvals needed to consummate such sale, approve the sale of a 25-foot wide strip of land on the east side of Magnolia Science Academy 1's high school parking lot parcels to the city of Los Angeles for no less than $1,266,000, and the amendment of MSA 1's lease for the premises with MPM Sherman Way LLC to reflect the sale of the strip of land. To approve the negotiation by the MPS CEO or his designee with the city of Los Angeles of such terms and conditions as he shall deem in the best interest of MPS and MSA 1 in order to consummate such transaction. And three, approve the execution by the MPS CEO and superintendent or his designees of such documents and instruments as may be necessary to undertake and complete the foregoing actions. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapano? Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Yapano, for your vote. Okay, at this moment, I'll put absent for Dr. Yapano's vote. Regardless, the motion still carries. Give me 1 second, everyone. Alrighty, so at this moment, Dr. Yapano does have some technical issues. He did have to step out, so because we have lost quorum, we will take a pause until he joins so we can reestablish quorum. So at this moment, no further actions will be taken until we establish quorum. Give me 1 second. Alrighty, thank you for that. For minutes purposes, Dr. Yopin will rejoin us again at 7:21 p.m.
My vote was yes for the last item.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Dr. Yopinel. So now it is three yeses for action item 4B. So now we'll move on to action item 4C, approval of the authorization to purchase 6 classroom bungalows for MSA 1. This was also presented at the Audit Facilities Committee meeting. So I'll turn it over once again to Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. Yes, this was the third item that was discussed and approved in the facility audit and facilities committee meeting on May 5th. So this is in regards to 6 modular bungalows for installation at MSA 1. As you're well aware, MSA 1 and 5 are co-locating at the location and increasing demand at MSA 1 and just to relieve the building of crowdedness, school is proposing to purchase 6 bungalows. There are 3 offers on the table, and staff proposed to, instead of leasing for $280,000, just to purchase it for $360,000. And that could be utilized down the road, or MSA 1 could sell them once MSA 5 has better options at a different facility. In terms of finances, the reserves will be used to purchase this item. Mr. Sahin, feel free to add if I missed anything on this item. Other than that, yeah, this was the item that was approved at our committee meeting.
No, Mekan, thank you. This is Mustafa Sahin, the project manager. I don't have anything to add.
Hi, this is Patrick Monteveros. If I may add a couple just points here. At the committee meeting, 2 questions were brought up. One was the longevity, the durability of these modular units. Mr. Sahin checked in with a mobile modular and basically they have an indefinite lifespan. So long as they're maintained adequately, they should last indefinitely. And that makes a lot of sense given the age of some of the modulars we see on existing school spaces. A second question that was asked was, did we consider financing this purchase versus using our reserves? And to that point, we did get a proposal from Tech Lease, which was basically a lease to own proposal. Depending on the duration of the financing, the interest rate would be anywhere from 6.3% for 36 months to 6.5% for 84 months. So it's a fairly expensive proposition to finance if we needed to finance. We discussed it with our finance department and determined that we believe the best option is to purchase it with cash reserves as opposed to incurring the additional expense of paying interest on a loan. So I just want to add those 2 points. If Steve, our CFO, is also present in this meeting, if he has anything to add, he's certainly welcome to at this point. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. I would just add that financing it would be we would have to pay interest probably in excess of 6%. And in addition, we would have this debt on our balance sheet, and it would be more prudent to just purchase it outright after looking at the numbers and doing the analysis. That's all I have.
All righty, thank you, team. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Are these bungalows used already?
Yes, this is Mustafa Sain, the project manager. Yes, they are used.
How long were they used for?
So we asked that question to the vendor, and then they were not able to tell us. They will tell us as soon as we sign the agreement, and then you know they will look at their inventory and then tell us the age of, or you know, the age of the units that we are going to be purchasing.
So do we have somebody inspecting them before we decide to purchase them?
So they are all, like, if I'm not mistaken, they are all DSA approved or not, Patrick?
Yeah, these, they're used units. Well, we would inspect them. We could have an opportunity to inspect them at where they're presently located. We would also obviously inspect them on site. They do have a 1 year warranty on them, which is, you know, typical construction warranty. You know, this is a mobile modular is a trusted company. We've worked with them on other projects. I would say, I know we've had not the best experience with other companies. You know, they have a good reputation to uphold. They do a lot of work in the charter school space. So I do not expect that they would, you know, sell us units that are in bad condition. If we determine that they are in bad condition, we won't accept them, and we'll just ask them to replace them with the more suitable units.
And then I noticed that you guys were thinking of leasing them and then now purchasing them, but I, on the paperwork, I only saw the part that said leasing. I didn't find any anything on purchasing.
So this is Mustafa Sahin, the project manager again. So when we released the RFP, I asked the vendors to also provide the purchasing option along with the leasing option. So we were only get two proposals for the purchase option. And then I can, it was actually in the board report, I can just say, you know, briefly mention, like, for example, Mobile Modular proposed $280,000 for lease. And then $360,000 just to purchase. The difference is $80,000. And then Will Scott, they only provided the lease option, which is $360,000, almost equivalent to, equivalent to Mobile Modular's purchase price. And the third company who submitted their proposal is called Global Modular. Their term or their price tag is $307,000 just to lease and $413,000 to purchase. And I think those proposals were also attached to the...
No, they were. The other two, but I didn't get from the one that we're interested in purchasing from. I didn't get their purchase numbers. I only got the lease numbers, unless I missed it somewhere. I don't know if that was added to it.
They submitted two different proposals. They were back to back in the document. And I don't know if Jen, if you want to scroll down, but that's okay.
Okay.
Any further questions from our board? Okay, if not, the motion is for the board to, okay, 1 second. Okay, as Patrick mentioned, Ms. Covarrubias, it's on page 16 on the report, if you want to check.
Let me see. Yeah, because I read it and it said lease, so I was confused because I know that it did indicate that initially we were wanting to lease it, so they did give that proposed, but then purchasing, I didn't see that. But Mr. Sahin gave me the numbers. That's what I wanted, so I'm okay. Thank you.
Perfect. So with that, the motion is for the board to approve the selection of Mobile Modular to provide 6 bungalows for installation at the Magnolia Science Academy 1 Middle School parking lot site in order to provide more space until Magnolia Science Academy 5 moves from MSA 1 to their own campus and to spend up to $400,000 on the project, and approves the execution of a contract that staff may negotiate with such vendor for the project. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanov? Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Yapanov?
Yes.
Thank you for that. With that, the motion carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4D, approval of 2022 through 23 school calendars for all MPS. This will be presented by Mr. Yilmaz, our Chief Accountability Officer.
Good evening, board members, colleagues, and community members out there. David Yilmaz, the Chief Accountability Officer. With this item, we ask the board to approve our school calendars for the next school year. I'll keep it very short and sweet. As you know, charter schools have to offer at least 175 instructional days in a school year, which is kind of easy to do. But then there is this other requirement about instructional minutes, where high school grades have to offer 64,800 minutes of instructional time, which may be a little bit more challenging unless you have a sufficiently long school day. Go down to the next page, Jen, please. So historically, our schools have offered either 180 or 181 school days. But for the first time in our history, this school year, current school year, we are offering 185. We made this decision due to the pandemic, the lost, instruction, and to accelerate learning. With the help of additional funds, we decided to go with 185 days across the board, which worked well. One other element we introduced this year was minimum day Wednesdays, where schools end like really early. And then after that, we have either Magnolia-wide or site-level PDs for our staff, which worked really well. And we want to continue, this culture of professional development. So here we are now. We had to make a decision. We were at the juncture, like, do we continue with 185 days, which is really working well, or do we go back to the old 180 school days, right? So we had a lot of discussions with our school leadership teams, which in turn took the matter to their staff, even, discussed and voted with them. So the main pros with the 185 school days was obviously having more school days, more, instruction for students. Also being able to keep our minimum day Wednesdays. But also the fact about instructional minutes, it is really hard to fit those 64,800 instructional minutes into 180 days, unless you have a really, really long day. And the introduction of SB 328, which is, starting this July, starting next school year, high schools cannot start earlier than 8:30. We typically start at 8 o'clock. So now we cannot start earlier than 8:30 for our high school grades. Would make the school day really end very super late. So we shared our calculations with the school teams, what time their school would end, with the introduction of SB 328 if they had 180 days versus 185. So in conclusion, in short, our high school chose 185 school days. It's working like really well. So their staff chose it. So you want to continue with 185. But for our middle schools and elementaries, you know, they're already well above their instructional minutes. So they did not really have to go with the 185. Everything works well with 180, more aligned with the, you know, district calendars. We kind of decided to give local autonomy to our schools with this decision. So as you see on that image, MSA 1 through 5, our high schools go with 185. The other schools go with 180. One exception is MSA Santa Ana, because they are K through 12. So even though they had high school grades, they still chose 180 and they'll make it work. And then now you're going to ask, like, why is MSA 6 different than MSA 7 and 8, right? Because MSA 6 is moving to a new Prop 39 location next school year. So they want to start a little bit earlier than LAUSD so that they can establish their school cultures before LAUSD school, you know, opens on the co-located campus. And also because MSA 6 is offering 2 additional PD days. They have the special PD where their teachers will be trained on a Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll be observed and get feedback. So there's really nice PD plan, which was approved by our academic and C teams. So their calendar is shifted just a little bit. So, and then on the next pages, you're going to see a comparison with the local districts. We really try to follow their calendar very closely, so that we don't have like attendance issues. We make it more convenient for parents, but this calendar was kind of like really the best, which works. Collective decision made with the school sites. And obviously, you know, other than this, instructional calendar, we will continue with our like summer in-services, the symposiums, all of those great activities continue. And then HR team will bring you, the other calendar in the school, the employee handbook, which talks about like other holidays, like Christmas, New Year's, Juneteenth. Those are in the employee handbook, which will be brought to you. This one I'm covering tonight is the instructional calendar. Let me know if you have any questions or comments. But I feel like this is the model we'll continue in the future years. It's 185 for high schools, 180 for the other schools. With the school start date now shifted to 8:30, our teams are making plans for like before school tutoring clubs, and then how to make it work, with the after school, with the ELOP grant. So all those like great plannings are happening and will be brought to the board also before June 30th. Yep, I think that's it. I said I would keep it short and sweet. Please let me know if you have any questions about the school calendars.
Thank you, David. Is there any questions or comments for the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If no questions or comments, the motion is for the board to approve the 2022 through 23 school calendars for all Magnolia Public Schools. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mika.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Yapino?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4E, approval of MPS college application fee policy. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, Chief Academic Officer, and Mr. Gray, our College and Career Readiness and TOSA Coordinator.
Good evening, board members. This is Arun Ajar, Chief Academic Officer. As part of our college and career readiness programs, we want to ensure our families and students are served and you know, enabled to access to colleges and universities. With the help of the teams, you know, our teams developed this policy. I'll turn over to Will Gray to cover the policy and the plan. Will?
Sure, thank you. Good evening, board members. So this policy is designed to close a gap that our college counselors have experienced every year when it comes time for college applications. And so briefly, each university has a college application fee. And for students that are receiving the free and reduced lunch program or members of that, their college application fees are waived. So for example, the UCs and the Cal States, it costs $70 for each college application. So if you apply to Cal State Long Beach, Cal State LA, and Cal State Dominguez Hills, that's $200 out of pocket that you never get back. Even if you get admitted, you don't get it back. So while we are glad that those universities do give college application fee waivers to families that do qualify for free and reduced lunch, something that our counselors and the site admin teams agreed with is the fact that those thresholds, frankly, are very low. And so there are families that do not qualify for free and reduced lunch, but at the same time don't have the extra capital, the cash around to apply for four-year universities, because very quickly it adds up. And so what we are looking to do by adopting this policy is to reimburse families for up to three application fee instances. We landed on three because we just wanted to make sure that this would be a program that is sustainable. And we also did consciously restrict it to the California State University and University of California systems, because they're very transparent about which students do qualify for those fee application waivers. So then we accordingly can look at our enrollment data, thanks to the accountability team, keeps a great track of that, and properly budget for it. We did do some looking to check private institutions, out-of-state institutions, but they just weren't as transparent as far as what students would qualify for fee waivers. And so that would just open up this for just a whole lot of question marks on the finance side, which we really weren't comfortable doing. And so what we're doing is we're taking a baby step for starting next year that would allow schools to, again, reimburse families for up to three applications for those that don't qualify for the fee waiver. We would direct our site staffs to double check to make sure that students are taking advantage of every fee waiver they can before the school steps in to fill this gap. But frankly, I've only had this position for a year, and I've lost track of the number of stories of college counselors that have had to have a tough conversation with families that didn't qualify for a fee waiver, but had to choose not to apply, even though their students qualified academically because of that fee. And so we're just trying to remove a barrier with a lens towards equity, like our organization tries to live up to. So there's the narrative, couple pages, and then it's a one-page narrative with the policy, and then the college application fee reimbursement form. And so the families, like I said, would have that initial outlay of resources to pay for the applications, and then would submit this form, and with supporting evidence that those fees were paid to the various university systems, to the site principal, who would then use their discretion as far as which particular type of fund would be used. Young, Meany, and Core did review this, and they added some language to make sure that it doesn't violate Section 6, Article 16 of the California State Constitution. So it's not a gift of public funds. It is being used for a specific education purpose. So that took a little bit of time because we are one of the first, actually the first one that I'm aware of, but I'll say one of the first because there might be one more out there, first CMO to actually looking to use our LEA ADA funding for this. Some do it based on private fundraising where they connect students with sponsors, but this would be something that we'd be able to do in-house and hopefully support students with. So that would, I open it up for questions, or Mr. Ajar, if you have further clarification, if I accidentally left something out.
Thank you, Will. I'll turn it over to Jen for any questions.
Thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Just comment, excited for the new upcoming seniors to be able to get this opportunity. I remember it was hard for us as my family, for my son. So I get that, you know, and I appreciate this. So thank you guys for bringing this to our students.
Absolutely, this is great. Quick question, so this applies for UC and CSU applicants only? Other university included too?
Thank you for that. So at this point, we are only doing it for the CSU and UC systems because they're transparent about which students do not qualify for the fee waiver. And that way we would be able to properly estimate along with the site principals how much funding to set aside. Historically, about 80% of our students qualify. So to flip that, we would need to be able to set aside funds for 20% of the students. But other university systems don't share who qualifies for a waiver. If this is something that can grow later, that's fantastic, but we're just trying to go with a predictable amount as we start off as an organization with this type of policy.
Got it, thank you.
Any further questions or comments from our board? Perfect, if not, the motion is for the board to approve the college application fee policy for all schools. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Second, Mika.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4F, approval of findings to conduct virtual meetings pursuant to AB 361 Government Code Section 54953. I'll turn it over to Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Hello, good evening again. This will be short and sweet. And how short and sweet? I'm going to turn it over to Jen to tell us what we are adopting here for the 100th time, I think. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you. So board members, as you're aware, this is a monthly approval that the board has to approve in order for us to continue using the flexibilities afforded to us from AB 361. None of the information has changed, so this we will keep bringing to the board on a monthly basis. So that is it on my end. I'll turn it over to any questions members of the public may have. If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board to adopt the findings relating to the ability of the MPS board and all MPS committees to conduct meetings due to teleconference during the state of emergency in reference to AB 361, Government Code Section 54953. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move. Covarrubias.
Second, Mekan.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Next and final, we'll move on to action item 4G, approval of updated MPS health and safety policy and injury and illness prevention program. COVID-19 addendum. This will be presented by Ms. Heshmirza, our Human Resources Director.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, board members, colleagues, and community. Tonight, I'm bringing the updated health and safety policy for your approval based on the recent local guidance and the authority agency. So some of the changes, all the changes are highlighted, yellow highlighted in the policy, but just to summarize, some of the changes in the policy are the definition of the close contact is changed to sharing the same indoor space with the infected person for a cumulative of 15 minutes. So those people would be considered as close contact if they were sharing indoor space. And some of the updates on the exposure management policy under the close contact, if persons with an outdoor exposure at school, they are not considered as close contact. And our schools have the option to use group tracing for individuals who spend more than 15 minutes in a shared indoor airspace. So that will be the definition if they're doing group contact tracing. And moving on to quarantine procedures, we separated as per the sites as you see for employees at MSA 1, 5 and Santa Ana. The unvaccinated employees must quarantine for at least 5 days after they lost exposure. And then they can end their exposure on the fifth day and then return to work on the sixth day. And fully vaccinated, not boosted, or you know, boosted, not boosted eligible, but they have not get their boosted, are not required to quarantine. If they don't have any symptoms, they have to wear a highly protective mask for 10 days, and they need to test 3 to 5 days from their exposure. And for our MSA 2, 3, 4, 6, and 8 employees, regardless of booster status, they can remain at work as long as they are not showing any symptoms, as long as they're wearing a highly protective mask at all times for 10 days, and they're participating in their weekly testing. For Santa Ana employees, regardless of vaccination status, they can remain at work as long as they're asymptomatic and they test on day 3 to 5. All MSA students can remain on campus regardless of vaccination status. This is for close contacts, as long as they are not, they don't show any symptoms. And for the vaccination policy, we did get some clarity from LAUSD. As you may remember, under the LAUSD policy, all employees of LAUSD authorized schools must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 by June 30, 2022. Which we have MSA 7, which falls under this policy. The only difference is that the employees will have the option if they have, the school will be able to grant the reasonable accommodation from vaccination as long as they submit one. So with that, these are some of the highlights of the changes. If you have any questions, I'm open for any further questions or comments you may have, and turn it back to Jennifer.
Thank you, Ms. Hashmirza. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect, if not, the motion is for the board to approve the updated MPS health and safety policy alongside the injury and illness prevention program COVID-19 addendum. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yalpinov?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The motion carries. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. I wanna thank you all for making time. At this moment, I ask Ms. Covarrubias if you may please adjourn. The time is 7:56 p.m.
Yeah, thank you everybody for being here. Thank you for all your hard work. Take care, good night. I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
Bye. Good night. Good evening.